Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything that you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am one of your hosts, Brady Steffel, and I am joined by...
Annie Larner.
Is that a clunky way to do that?
The whole way we do this podcast is clunky.
It's always clunky.
All of it's a tad clunky.
All clunk all day. All clunk, no junk.
What's up, Brady?
Double junk. What's up?
Guys, we apologize. We slacked. We didn't show up last week, but we're showing up this week.
Yeah, it's been weird.
We actually got a Hey Dummies email from someone.
Hey Dummies.
Those are my favorite emails, by the way. What are you doing? Send them all the time.
And it says, where'd you go?
What does it say? It says, oh, I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
It said,
where'd you go?
I can't remember.
What are you doing?
Yeah, it was a Hey Dummies email. It was like, where are you?
What are you doing?
Did you guys stop? Please stop. Stop slacking off is essentially what it said. So yeah. We're sorry. We're back.
You know we don't get paid for this, right?
Hey, did we read the listener mail from listener Kyle?
What was it about? I'm the wrong person to ask.
I'm gonna go ahead and read this listener mail because you know what? If you took the time to send us some love, we're gonna send you
all
some
gas,
love
no
back. Yeah, this is a listener Kyle wrote in a few weeks ago and said, "Howdy, longtime listener, first time caller. Wanted to write in with a few things that have been on top of my mind. Side Dish is incredible, and not enough people know about it." Every time an episode comes out, it is my perfect long-run soundtrack. I've mentioned the show to the running group at Shoes and Brews, and no one has known about it, but everyone has checked out and loves it. Huh. So keep on keeping on. My long runs are better for it. Way to stay in shape, Kyle. Two, I will die on the hill that the episode you did with the city traffic planner and engineer was the best episode. How can we have more of that? I could have listened to that for hours.
Right?
That was Phil.
Phil Greenwald.
Phil Greenwald, that's right. We'll get him back on.
Oh, Angel of Mercy.
Yeah, we like that episode too. Number three, can you do an explainer on the city of Longmont versus Boulder County annexation? I'm perpetually haunted by the junk cars, glass, and sad goats at 260 South Sunset.
But it
is a little chunk of Boulder County in the middle of Longmont.
That's what's going on?
Why are these little non-city pits all over the city? Oh, I'm going to come back to that one, Kyle. Number four, bummer I had to leave right at the start of the recording at Dryland. Hope to make it next to the next one and hope there will be a PA set up so it will be easier to hear. Keep on keeping on. The podcast has only gotten better this year. Love the new format.
Really?
Cheers, Kyle. Gee, thank you, Kyle. That just sure feels great.
I'm surprised anybody thinks it's gotten better.
Hey.
Hey, what?
I'm the producer now. Come on now. Throw some love.
Yeah, but I'm still here.
Okay, so I today happen to be looking at a bunch of maps of the city of Longmont.
Yeah, as you do.
I know. It's like my favorite thing. I was getting deep in some FEMA maps, actually, because I want to see if that area that they've done the mitigation on has been updated on the FEMA maps to be out of the floodplain yet.
Sure.
Because my understanding is they were
going to be.
Hang on. So there, if you go to the maps website on the city of Longmont, you can find this one called Neighborhood Planning Areas. And I don't know if this is going to answer your question.
This is really warming up. Yep.
and it shows it's color-coded by established neighborhood and planned neighborhood. And so the established neighbors in orange and then planned is like what they're planning. I don't really know what that means. Hang on. Wow. But it is kind of interesting. So if you go look like north of 66 on 287, like the thing about where the Walmart is, and then all back behind there, they're calling this neighborhood Longmont Tech Center.
Oh.
So that's interesting. And actually, this is first time news for me. I'm like, what does that mean? I have to find out. So obviously that's some sort of plan thing. They have this whole east side area that goes out to like basically all the way out to, is it County Line where Union is on the other side of?
Yes.
So just basically all the way out to County Line is in that planned neighborhood zone. And then if you go down to basically where the sugar mill is, but then go farther east on 119. So again, going out to the other Walmart, they are calling that McLane, and that's all planned. And then of course, Quail to the south, Pike to the south. And so you can look at this. And I think to me, the way I interpret this is like, this is essentially where Longmont will arrive at once it stops growing.
Oh, okay.
Once it stops acquiring, county parcels, Kyle, and parcels outside of the town that they probably plan to eventually annex in develop for different purposes. A lot of times residential, in some cases commercial, like this Longmont Tech Center, whatever that is, this what they're calling Terry Lake, which is the other side of 287 north of 66. So it's an interesting map that I'd say go check out at the City of Longmont's website. And Kyle, to go back to your other question, I think ultimately the plan would be to annex all of those properties mm-hmm. in. Like once there's little pockets of these, you know, unincorporated
Boulder County.
Yeah. And eventually the plan always, of course, is to annex that in. It doesn't really make sense, but it just has to be a decision and collaborative effort of the property owner, because we have this thing in the United States called property rights. And right. at the end of the day, it really does. And the city has tools for forcing that sometimes, like, mm-hmm. Eminent domain, and they have, they can condemn properties for purposes of like acquiring the parcels for like planned developments or something in urban renewal zone. They have more tools at their disposal to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, this is America. We're free. So right. we can't just force that. But ultimately, yeah. they will eventually. And sometimes the way to do it is like to develop everything around it in such a way that that county parcel loses value. It starts to lose value because it could have been part of a more coordinated development around it. And because that they kind of held out and didn't participate in it, it's actually like nobody wants to do with anything with it now because it's too small right. and too irrelevant. So
right.
It does happen by maybe a lot of different means, but there are holdouts.
Yeah. So they were talking about that spot on Sunset in particular, right? Which is now a wrecker yard. Kind of a dump,
right?
Like an actual dump. Like
yeah,
you can take your cars there,
junk it there.
That mm-hmm. yeah, that's been a bit of a sore spot for me. I'm not going to lie. Like I don't begrudge anybody running and operating a business, but within certain bounds, and they do wind up sort of just parking in the street a right. lot. And then I feel like that's a city throughway that people want to walk on the sidewalk, and they leave a lot of junk out on the sidewalk,
right?
And if behind the fence it's a wrecker yard, and you can drive in there and unload your vehicles and stuff, a lot less issue with it. You know, it's fine. Get in there. But I come home north on Sunset from hither and yon, and it's like, okay, I'm waiting in traffic for, and then it's, you know, like a derelict Pontiac Aztec or something waiting to get wrecked. You know, you can laugh. It's okay.
It's totally. Funny.
It's a joke of a car. It's a horrible looking thing. There's a reason why they used it in Breaking Bad, because it was, I mean, it's, right. totally. It's the comic low point of the automotive industry. What do they call it? This is the apex or the zenith, and then there's the trough, whatever.
The right? trough.
Whatever. There's the anti that. There's
antithesis? No.
Well, no, that's
no, the, that's like the opposite.
There's the apogee and the perigee when you're doing an orbit, gosh. And then there's wow. like a – I'm a word guy. Like,
I'm with you. Yeah, yeah it's
okay.
good.
Okay. Anyway, you know, yeah. you see that kind of stuff, and okay. you see like washing machines basically sitting on the sidewalk, and it's like
– Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that, Kyle. I think we would all agree with you, and it's just a lot of things have to come together.
So funny things about those too, and I applaud people who use them to get away with things, because I think it's kind of funny. Like I find this irksome to drive past and to be bound up, and it's sort of an eyesore. I think just about everybody would agree with that. But there's stuff where like we had the pot shop thing, and where there's like no pot shops in the city limits. And I think it was Native Roots
right.
bought a parcel right. that's basically right on the creek, and the city yeah, exactly. didn't want to own it because of the floodplain issues or whatever, right. as I understand it. And so then Native Roots was sitting there and they're like, well, it's not incorporated. So you like your ban, your citywide ban on having pot shops or whatever, like doesn't apply to this spot. Right. So we're going to get right. And I'm like, you know, play the game.
Right.
Play the game.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with fireworks that are technically not supposed to be sold in the city.
Hmm.
I think that those, mm-hmm. I think they put pop-ups in those.
Yeah.
That's less, I'm not entirely sure about that. But yeah, there are, I'm not entirely sure why they started in the beginning, but I think some of them were like the bridge had to be annexed in, the Sunset Bridge or something eventually had to be annexed in. And it was because right. the city initially didn't want to deal with the issue of having a large liability that they had to take care of,
right.
As I was told at the time. And this has been, I mean, we started this podcast years ago, and I'm surprised that I'm dredging this information up. I don't know if it's correct, because I may have learned it incorrectly, but this is what I learned at the
yeah.
time. So,
well, thanks for your note, Kyle. That's awesome. We love that. And thanks for listening. While we're on the...
I love that people are just like, that use the podcast for like these droning tasks.
I know.
I use it if I need something to take my brain off of running. Or
I think I've mentioned another
asleep.
Friend who uses yeah. it to garden, like do yard work or whatever. Right. I'm like, yeah, fall asleep, yard yeah. work, running.
Yeah,
that's just, so funny.
Well, I'll say like there's a lot of stuff that I listen to too that's like, I put it on because the tedium of scrubbing the stove is kind of too much. But also if I have a book on tape on and I'm not doing something, I'll lose my mind. I'll just be like, what am I going to do with my hands? And then I'll like pick up my phone and then realize 20 minutes have passed and I don't know what's going on. And the character's like, okay, something's got to give. So I'm going to go scrub the toilet and do this. And it's fine. So
perfect.
I get it.
So we also heard from another listener, Sarah, who asked about Johnson's Gas in Prospect. Sarah sent us a picture of the Johnson's Gas, which is at the dead end of Innisfier, I believe. So down in Prospect, you have sort of that commercial area that's kind of to the east end of Prospect, more towards 287. And at the dead end is this really cool retro kind of, what's that, Art Deco looking style.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be a gas station somewhere else on Main Street maybe, and they relocated it to Prospect years ago.
Is this the one that they said that what's his face from The Road stopped at? Is that that same gas station? Who wrote The Road?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I read it. I can't remember who wrote it.
So Sarah said, it looks like something finally is happening with this building in Prospect. You know the story. So the story is, yeah, these developers, this group Nassar, I think is the developer, they bought that project from the woman whose name I'm not remembering right now, who developed Prospect. Basically the original developer, yeah, of Prospect, yep. Right? Isn't that right? Yep. So the original developer of Prospect, Kiki Wallace.
Yeah.
This was one of her projects, and it just kind of, I don't know if they ran out of money or if it just never took off, but this group a few years back took that project over and has been working on it. And what it is you have the Johnson's Gas building in the middle, and then it's flanked on either side by a bunch of multifamily that will be delivered. So this is it's great. They're adding some more density to Prospect after like a long break of development over there. And in the middle where Johnson's Gas is essentially like a restaurant is what they haven't found an operator yet, but will soon is from what I understand. And it's about 3,500 square foot restaurant, which is not small, and a ton of patio space, covered patio and rooftop as well. Nice. So it should be a pretty cool vibe. There used to be a pool back there, which they are filling in or are going to fill in or something like that. They're not going to keep it as a pool, but it's kind of got a cool vibe if you like drive around the back of it and you see like the fence to where, like, I wish they would keep the pool because I think a poolside patio restaurant would be so cool, but I'm sure the liability is just in the upkeep.
It'd be a little like we could take a dip right after.
But it would feel so, especially because that like with the Art Deco building and like the Googie sign, and then if you like walked around in like a high-waisted bikini and like got your drink served and got your fries, it would feel like you're back in like Hollywood almost in the 60s or something.
Yeah.
That vibe.
I mean, it's a cool vibe. Art Deco the right? Is it Art Deco or is it like,
I don't know.
Because it's not Nouveau. I'm trying to go through like the...
It's what I think of like South Beach in Miami.
Yeah. Or like Southwestern bright sort of pastel.
Oh, no. I think it's like... Here, I'll show you the picture she sent.
So the Kiki Wallace bought it. It was on Main Street. And then in 2003, they relocated it.
Can you see that?
Yeah, sort of. That looks really square. I don't know if it's Art Deco.
Okay.
Anyway, somebody go find a photo of this thing or drive past and tell us what the art style is, because we're hopeless and hapless. So Jack Kerouac is the guy. He spent some time there in his book On the Road, which is a weird trod if you've never read it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. And then it's like a lot. It's just a weird book. Beatnik Generation, you know, inspired like back in the 50s. So that was a thing. So now... It's built in 37, and they're trying to do new stuff with it, apparently, which is pretty cool.
37? That's Art Deco. That's like squarely Art Deco. It's 40s.
37. When did the Depression start? Because there's like all sorts of, yeah.
Yeah, so. Post-war.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm feeling kind of proud of my architectural knowledge right now.
I like Art Deco. We'll see. I think of Art Deco as being more, is it like it very is, geometric?
Yeah, totally. Except that the developers took this and painted all the trim black a la... Joanna Gaines, so kind of updates
I'm over
it a little
it.
Bit.
I'm going to go on record. I was never into it. I do not like, this is my trends. Not that anybody cares or should care. My trends for me are to find a thing that I think will hold up into the future, and it usually does not jive with anything you can buy at Home Depot. and this is not punching down on Home Depot. I think I shop at Home Depot a lot, but Trend wise, I'm not big on painting everything white or black. I don't.
How about gray? That's my least. Like,
no, because I painted everything gray in my house.
Gray floors, gray cabinets.
Literally everything. Every wall that couches. I had a chance to paint, I painted gray and then thought, what have you done? What have you done? You simpleton, you idiot boy. What have you done? The whole house is gray. There's no way to escape it. You put gray face plates on, which I like, the brush metal ones,
yeah.
On all the switches and the nice touches. And then there's gray. Any wall that I had a chance to go pick paint out, I 10 shades of gray. It wasn't like the book or anything. So it's just like gray. So what we've done, what we did is we went onto a website and found some patterns that we like. And I'm sad because all of our walls have like a really thick texturing on. Really thick. So I can't use wallpaper. I'd love to use some wallpaper. But we went and looked at Art Deco wallpaper and fabric.
Nice.
And they should be coming Friday. And I'll take the color patterns off of those and just download that and say that's what I want. I'm going to see if I can do that. And I've done that with other things and it works pretty well. Kelsey actually painted her office by saying, I like the hues on this like tea tin. And it was sort of it turned into like a Southwest sort of like
cool
vibe. And it worked really, really well. And it's like, let's do that again. Because if you go and look at the paint trends now, it's like, would you like a mauve or maybe a lot of white? Would you like more white? Here's our 10 best whites for 2023, 2024. So I'm over the white. Do something. Be bold. It's your house. Live in it. Enjoy it. They paint it white to flip it. White does not stay clean.
We are post-COVID.
Yep.
Let's be less depressing.
Yeah, we don't. It doesn't need to be a sterile OR. This isn't an operating theater. Live your life. Buy some funky tile. Tile something stupid. Do it. Go out there.
All right. Let's hit some more buzz around town.
Oh, can I say one more thing that I don't like?
Yes.
Tile that's like supposed to be something else. Like so what? If it's like fake wood tile.
Wood tile.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Don't like it. Never liked it.
But can you tell it's tile?
Yeah, 100%.
I can't.
Really?
No.
It's just like, oh, that looks like fake wood.
It looks
wood.
Like engineered wood to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Just get like tile. There's so many.
I'm into hardwood.
I like natural materials. I'm a
hardwood purist for sure.
Like slate and
twice
marble
as much as everything else, and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I got hardwood in my house. It's had the.
Yeah.
It's been beaten up because I got dogs, but yeah. I like natural, stone and.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's
plenty of people like it. It holds up and it's cheap and you can replace it when you want. Do your own thing. If you want to do white, I guess go do it. I dislike it.
I like white walls. I do not like color in walls, but I like color in other places. To me,
you would hate my house.
No, I like color. I like pops of color in places that are easier to replace than painting.
Sure. So like when we bought our house, there's a brown wall. My brother hates it. There's a brown wall.
Ugh, I do not like brown
walls. It's brown, gray. Green and there's a green room.
How do you feel about purple. This podcast studio?
This is this teal back here. It's funky.
We have a lot of gray in here.
Yeah, could use another trim color.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like around the window and the door.
It's all my gosh!
When we bought the house, my favorite part about our house when we bought it is like somebody went in and bought carpet and then said, "Can you just paint match this carpet?" And then they did the walls and the ceiling in the basement. The whole basement was the exact same shade of beige, all of it, up and around. It was just, you walk in, it was like, sort of a creamy tunnel down here.
Creamy tunnel.
Not great. Okay, so anything about Longmont?
I got something.
Hyper-specific because it's my basement in Longmont. But.
All right, some movement of vinyl going on downtown since we bring this stuff up.
Oh, I thought, okay. Let's talk about what the thing actually is as opposed to what I thought we were talking about.
No, not building materials. Records.
Right.
So in that little space at 624 Main, where the Longmont bookstore was for like, I don't know, a year or so. Remember that tiny little bookshop that opened up in the same building as the Lale radio station right across from Mico? That white building where the Spanish radio was. And there was like that Botas place, like the boots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then a little cute little bookshop called the Longmont bookstore opened up. Mm-hmm. Jake ran that and he didn't have a ton of books. He tried to do like book club stuff, events, try to like kind of a community thing. And he was kind of testing a concept and he's moving on to some bigger and better things. We'll have him on sometime to talk about what he's up to next. It'll be really cool. But he left that space and in moved the Vinyl Cafe, which is Martin, who is running this place. He's awesome. He is an ex, what do you call like an ex-British person? An expat of Britain, expat. I guess you'd say. Anyway,
when you're affluent, you're an expat. Yeah,
right.
If you otherwise, you're just like an immigrant.
British expat. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, you say British expat.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's super cool. Go check him out at his Vinyl Cafe. He is starting here. He's just getting established for a few months, and then he is moving into the home of the current, what's that vinyl shop called? The one with the pun.
Oh, All Things Vinyl?
All Things Vinyl.
Yeah.
So All Things Vinyl is closing.
Is that the red one?
That's the red one.
Okay.
The red one that's like a block up near Longspeak in Maine is closing, and the Vinyl Cafe is moving into that location.
Okay.
So it'll still be a vinyl shop, new operator, and Martin has been like, I like how he runs his stuff. He's really particular about, like, he does his own label on everything that he has, that he owns, and says like some information on all of them. He has a really nice collection. It's been like for years gathering. He's been going to shows for a long time, trying to find a brick and mortar. So he kind of got this spot, but he's actually moving out in 2 months and going right over to the red one. And I don't know if he'll paint it or what, but definitely check it out. He is, the newest vinyl proprietor on the block.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know that we have capacity for another one, but if he's replacing one, then...
Well, he's of the mindset. I heard his theory on this. He's of the mindset that it's actually like cool when Longmont becomes like a cluster of vinyl, because we have these two or three like different... He said they all have their merits or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's helpful because the operators kind of call each other when they don't have something and say, hey, you got someone here looking for this. Do you have this? And they kind of collaborate. Yep. And it ends up bringing people from up and down the Front Range when we have all these shops with a bunch of vinyl.
That I like. I'll say, like, any given year, unless I get a bunch of money or something, I have a fixed – it's not fixed, but it's like there's a certain amount of money I'm going to spend on what is a frivolity. I mean, let's be honest. Sure. I have a subscription to
– Nice to have.
I have – 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 or 6 different ways to play music, not including my headphones and stuff. So I've got like ways to get digital music played, you know, because the TV's got a fancy stereo, and I got the one on my office, which is pretty big. It's got a soundbar. I got the record player. I've got the smart speaker. I've got the whatever. And then I've got my noise canceling. I've got ways to like plug into digital media. I don't really need to buy records. I like to buy
records.
It's
fun. I know.
So I, you know, like how much am I really going to spend?
Right.
Like $1,000. Oh, there's another one. I should probably spend an extra $500. It's like, it's not really going to happen. A certain percentage of money. But if we can be an anchor and draw people in, I like having them around.
Right.
I really do.
Right.
I worry always when there's too many. And I go, there can be some deadfall. But I like having them. So if he can. And if he's the dude that was doing sort of pop-up sidewalk-y stuff.
He is.
Yep. I like him.
Exactly.
I do like him. Mm-hmm. I bought the Weezer Teal album off of him and a couple others. And that one gets some pretty good play. That's good jams. If you were alive in the 80s and want Weezer, who's alive in the 90s, to play a bunch of the old, you know, jams. It's pretty good stuff. Like, it's good. So I liked it. Yeah.
So go check him out, 624 Main. But he'll soon be at the current home of All Things Vinyl.
I hope he paints it.
Why do I always forget this? All Things Vinyl?
Yeah.
All Things Vinyl.
Because all sales vinyl.
Thank you.
Because, like, I do kind of hope he paints it because, like...
The red? You're not loving the red? All right, fair enough.
That's, you know, I'm saying... Don't do white all the time. So he wants to leave it red, whatever. Yeah. At least they go, it's the small red building. It's not really a big red building.
All right.
But good for him.
Wibby Brewing.
Heard about this, yeah.
Yeah, they were named Brewer of the Year for breweries that produce between 5,001 and 15,000 barrels a year, which equates to about 10,000 to 20,000 kegs. So I think that was through the...
Great American Beer Festival.
Yeah, so that is a big deal, man. There's a lot of breweries at that.
Yeah.
Congratulations to... Is it Ryan over there who runs Wibby Brewing?
Ryan Wibby,
yep.
Poses under a portrait.
I am probably... I think we've talked about our favorite beers in Longmont and our favorite brewery or whatever. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's probably Wibby.
I just drove past Wibby on the way here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loggers.
Places
I'm a fan.
Like,
I like Loggers.
Absolutely ripping it up. It's
always
busy right now.
I know, it's awesome.
I was, because it's like 4:45 right now on a Wednesday. We on Wednesday? I'm just a bubble floating above the disconnected from the river of time. I don't know what's going on. But so I was driving past because Main Street, you're like 3rd Street's a wreck. They got it all torn up for whatever, water mains or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? So I think it's water mains. I think it's water mains on 3rd.
Yeah, it's really annoying. You can't go down the hill.
And so like from all like Terry, it's like from Terry
to like basically Bowen almost.
Yeah,
or something?
It's past there now.
Yeah, okay.
I used to turn off on. So I had to go. I was going on 2nd Street, and I got locked into this huge line of cars, and I did not want to wait to take a left on Main Street.
Right.
And so I went through, I went second, I'm going to the west, I went, or to the east, drive all the way through, hit Main Street, and then went back and around and up on Kaufman, like, way, because I live over, you know, in the area, so I know how to sort of sneak it. And I drove, I must have gone past, like, 2-3 blocks of, was effectively standing traffic on Second Street because Third is such a mess. And so now I'm sitting here, like, plotting my way home, going, like, how am I going to, because I want to be going north so I can park in front of the house. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. But it, long story short, it's busy. And then I was driving back there, and I haven't been back there in a little bit, and I noticed some of the development that's happened back there, and it's sort of the row houses. Mm-hmm. And they're tall, and they're narrow, and they're brightly colored, and it makes me think a lot of European...
Which is where the food hall's going.
Awesome.
Right behind it.
Very cool. Yeah. I like it because it's the European model allows ownership. I don't know if these ones are ownable or how those work. But in Europe, I mean, you live in a row house. It's one of 10 on a block or whatever. Right. And you can buy the house. You live in it upstairs, downstairs, rent the bottom, live in both, whatever. But you get ownership. It provides density. Like, I like the model quite a bit.
Right.
And then they do a nice thing in there where in the one that we lived in Germany, there's always a hallway that separates you from your neighbors to the side of the side, because that's where your stairwell up and down goes. So it's a decent model, allows for a lot of – and the town that I was living in Germany, this is why I like it so much, like you could pretty much walk anywhere because it was like a quarter the footprint of the town that I grew up in, but it had like the same population. So it was much less sprawly. I think there's a model. I like it. I'd like to see that type of housing built more.
Yeah.
And that density
is what will bring all these restaurants everybody wants. I mean, if you want these retail amenities, we've got to get more people downtown.
And better bus service.
Yeah.
And like all of the stuff that people say, like, I can't wait. It's like, you can't have a bus that goes to your door because like you and 12 people live on your block. Yeah. Like, there's not capacity for it.
Speaking of that, this is just a PSA. I want to encourage all you listeners and everybody that you know to remind people to use the Spoke Garage on Kaufman. Mm-hmm. It's like between 5th and 6th, and you access it from Kaufman. 250 free covered spaces. And if you want to get over, like, the Roost, or if you want to get somewhere in that, like, sort of condensed area, the area that's, like, most popular for restaurants at night and Kimberg's Hall, the Spoke Garage, and you just walk through the breezeway, and it's literally just as close as parking down the block on Kimberg.
It kills me because people, like, you go to park if you're going to eat at the Roost or in that general area, and there's that one little lot behind the Roost.
Yeah.
And people go in there, and they will just, they're like,
circle
fist
and circle
fight
and
for
circle.
That.
It's like, just go across the street. You will be there faster.
That's the thing. And it's like, it just, it's so chafing because it's like, what? And you go, you could get a spot here, but you're going to be circling forever. And then, like, so what?
Right.
Because you have to walk across. But there's, like, the lanes everywhere that you can just walk through. Like,
I had heard that Roost was going to try to offer valet parking back there.
Okay.
I have yet to see that. But if that happens, that will be a funny day.
Yeah.
Valet parking in Longmont.
Well, there's already a valet parking at Westside Tavern.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Move Valley Park.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, that place is a bit of a victim of its own success because it's very busy and it's in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm,
and so then they don't want people parking here and there. And they say, oh, da, da, da. So then I think it's super funny. Like, oh, Valley, I'm going to go park this in front of some dude's house.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of funny. But it is what it is. So, you know, they're very busy. People love that place. Exceptional drinks. But it's a bit funny to have what is effectively a house with a restaurant in it that has valet parking, and they're just going to go park it in front of some guy's house. So I think that's
sweet.
That as a concept is funny to me. Yes.
Should I keep going here?
Yeah, keep going. Right, I mean, right. I had that one. You know, whatever.
Okay, I got another PSA. Okay, so I found out the other day.
PSA alert.
This is kind of cool. Longmont has a outpost, I guess you could say, or a partnership. Longmont United Hospital has a partnership with the CU College of Nursing in Boulder, and they have this Center for Midwifery Longmont branch. So it's a partnership where they work with this midwifery group out of CU, and they operate out of the birthing center at LUH, and they do water births. And that's really rare. Nobody offers water births at hospitals, basically, is my understanding. And so, or it's uncommon, rather. So if you are looking for a water birth,
birthing experience.
Yeah, with midwives and stuff. I just thought that was really interesting. That's uncommon. And go check out the Longmont United Hospital Midwifery Center, which is a, well, I guess a birthing center, which has these midwives. that operate there. I thought that was really, really cool.
Neato burrito.
Brady has no commentary on this one.
What am I supposed to say?
I know.
There's a lot to talk about. And you know, we've known each other for a long time. We don't go there usually as a rule.
You don't want to hear my birth story?
If you want to talk about it on air, I'm up for whatever. I'll have you know, like, I don't care. Like, not about that, but it's just like, whatever. There's not much to me that's really super off limits. So it's just like, I know that other people have limits and there's other stuff that people don't want me mentioning. And it's like, yeah. So it's a lot like being naked. I'm just like, other people don't want to see that, so I'll close the shades. I personally don't care. So that's me in this.
I'm an open book. I think the only time I've been embarrassed talking about my birth story was when I had to, because we did a home birth and I was supposed to do it on the bed. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are. We're getting into this.
Let's get into it.
This happened
in Longmont, ostensibly.
It did. Yeah.
It's Longmont news.
We were going to do it on the bed and it was all dressed and ready for that. And I wanted nothing to do with the bed. And that's just how birth goes. And so the child came on the floor and it was a mess. And I had to get the carpets cleaned, you know, weeks later. You know, when the carpet cleaners come, they have a lot of questions about those stains. You know, they need to know what material is in the carpet.
Like,
was it an animal? Was it feces? It was some blood and, you know, and okay, blood. All right. It was like, well, it was, you know, amniotic fluid, you know. Yeah. They're like, oh, okay.
Do you have supplies for amniotic fluid? Like, that's the real question. I mean, really, you're going like,
if I really tell you,
what this is it actually going to help? Because I don't know that you're going to have supplies for this.
I know. Do you have the right chemical treatment for this?
Like, yeah. At some point, just go get, you know, whatever you use and just try it out. See what happens.
Oh,
this
Lordy.
Is blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'll be. So there you go.
So anyway, good job to LUH. That's a really cool partnership. Check it out if you're shopping around for where to have a baby.
Yeah, as you do. I've just been letting you go because, like, I've had some of this stuff and some of it not, whatever. So Johnny St. Vrain says Longmont Development will deliver a new Hover Street intersection, but no changes to Rogers Road. So this is information about that Home Depot new development by Target, like all of that stuff over there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on back there.
There's a lot going back on over there, going on back, whatever, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can right now actually get to Target from Rogers Road.
Okay.
You can. It's not super direct.
Okay.
It's kind of a
I've never done that.
It's new. I mean, they put in those roads.
Oh, wow.
Because they're
I
doing
had to go drive that.
Development. And so you can get through there. And for me right now, it's nice because I basically – if I have to turn left on Hover. And that's the dreaded intersection. That's what we're talking about here. It's like, the dreaded intersection. Because it's big old Suckola. Like, it's no
– Oh, you're saying if you wanted to go north, you could take that road to Rogers Road and – Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
It's okay. Putsy.
Yeah.
Because what you wind up doing sometime is, okay, if I'm at Target and I want to go north, I'll either just go across all the traffic and then turn out and go on Nelson and stuff and then go away and go up to where I need to go. Or you go to Home Depot through their parking lot, go to that really awful intersection.
It's the worst.
Cross your fingers, you know.
Not an intersection, by the way.
Do your whatever, like your – whatever things you need to do for your religious, you know, try to get that whole thing involved, just trying to get or just floor it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's all sorts of crazy things that happen at that intersection. It's bad. And so this is slower than I think at least the Home Depot thing because that one works. It's just a real pain.
Right.
But you can get through there. Eventually, it's just going to be a housing development.
Mm.
And I think they're going to put like 200 units back there. I was looking it up today. I think that development is about 200 units.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
bunch.
Pretty big.
And there's like some commercial going back there too.
Okay.
Like some flex buildings, I think.
That would track, yeah. So I'm trying to think of what else I was going to say about this. But they're going to build another road. I think that goes north-south. My brother sent me a message the other day. I think they're building another road that goes north-south over there that would intersect. That's a bit more of a straight shot. They're saying that it won't. I think they're going to have a... They might eventually add a light on Hover, but they're not going to change any of the stuff on.
That's cool.
Yeah. They're not going to change anything on Rogers. What I would love to see is them put bike lanes on Rogers.
Mm.
Because right now, actually, it's about as good as it's been if you want to get to Target without going like taking your life into your own hands. Because in the past, you would get to like the Nelson-y kind of where you want to get into Target. And then it's that huge intersection and it's, you know, 10 lanes of traffic. It's a very American intersection and you're going, now I got to get over there. If you're on Rogers, you're coming off of Boston, which it is. If you're on Boston and you get to Hoover, on the other side is Rogers, right? They run right into each other. But once you cross the street, there's no more bike lanes. And you can bike there. It's okay. It's not too busy. It's not too bad. And if you're up in there, then you can take that turn and sort of sneak in the back way to get into Target or Home Depot or whatever. If you've got your e-bike these days, the huge things you can actually store stuff on, then you can get in and out of there. But there's no bike lanes on Rogers.
Right.
Then, you know, Rogers is quickly becoming more busy and will become more busy. I'd like to see them put that sort of infrastructure in. I get frustrated when I see these new developments go in and there's very little
thought. Yeah, that's a fair criticism. Interesting.
Because even the one on Pike and Hoover, all those new units, the bike lane is still just smashed up against the lanes there and people go howling through there and stuff. And I would like to see, especially now with the advent of e-bikes and that type of stuff and how wide trucks have gotten, it'd be nice to have a bit more protection for pedestrians and, and bicyclists. So that's my big grouse. I've always got that grouse. But yeah, so there's going to be a new road back in there that can be traveled.
Well, speaking of developments, I think we'll do – we should do a good roundup because there's just been so much going on.
Oh, man, that's
but
been a lot.
Yeah. I do want to get into here in a few weeks the sugar mill stuff because it is fascinating. We're going to have Charlie Woolley on when he gets back in town to talk about what he's – he's the developer who is doing the sugar mill project basically. And it's epic. It's so – it's, you know, 250,000 square feet of commercial and 2,200 residential units is what they're talking about on that whole site.
How many units of residential?
2,200.
Wow.
2,200, yeah. And the, and they'll – you know, obviously it's like a private – public partnership because they're putting money because it's like established as an, a sub area plan. It's like the sugar factory steam sub area plan through the city. There will be some incentives and they'll help with cleanup and stuff because it's like a brown site. Like the sugar mill is a brown site that needs to be cleaned up. It's not that bad. Surprisingly, it's, it's not like they were doing really bad. I mean, they were processing sugars. It was run by coal and coal's like not the worst thing that they could put into the, they can clean that up pretty easily. There's some asbestos, but the main thing they had to bring in, I guess, was a bunch of lime from Wyoming. Cause the lime they would like mix with the slurry, to remove impurities. And so the whole thing is just like covered in this like white dust that looks like asbestos, but it's mostly lime and it's not really toxic. It's natural kind of.
Okay.
So the site itself is not as bad as it could be. It just needs tons of cleanup. It's like all the equipment's in there. And
yeah. And when we had Tony Chacon on, we should get him back maybe. Well, if we get this other guy, probably talk about the same stuff.
Yeah.
But Tony was talking about how the superstructure of the thing's actually pretty intact.
It is intact.
It's like a steel
structure
and I think it's brick clad. And the,
exactly.
The structure itself is actually fairly sound. It's in good shape.
And that's the idea, is to keep all those brick build. There's like three brick buildings that they would just keep and that would be the commercial and then they'll build the residential around it.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. How far along is that for like, is that,
I mean, there it's, well, I guess we'll find out from Charlie what the timeline is exactly. I'm not totally sure. I mean, they're working on acquiring grants for the cleanup right now. So I think it would be a while before they could actually start like, but they could like grade and clear the site that's to kind of the, not like away from Longmont. So I guess that would be to the east, southeast essentially, where they're going to turn that into like a, that could be like, they could do it in phases, but we should ask, we'll ask Charlie what the plan is.
Yeah. Cause that's, I mean, I think people are like, oh, is it locked up? Is it, you know, is it going to be 5 years? Is it, is it potentially going to fall apart? Like what are we?
I think, yeah, I don't know. It'll definitely be a 5 year project at best because there's just so much that has to happen, but they're, you know, a developer has a plan. The city council is like approving it.
Right. And there's talk of the city council too of putting the potential performing arts center out there as well.
We'll see. And that, and they, there's that ballot issue coming up this fall with the performing arts, which may or may not like be slated to go out there. All a bunch of ifs.
Yeah, it's very iffy because we're looking at that saying, well, are we going to get a performing arts center? Are we not? Is this referendum thing going to pass? Will it not? Where will it go if it does? We don't know. And a few different ideas have been floated. And it's always so – there's so many moving pieces that you look at it and go, is that? Is it not?
Right.
And I would be one that's a proponent for because I think we're growing and like that would be a nice thing for the community. There's a lot of people that are on the other side. Everybody's got their – you know, there's fair points to be made on those. But I, right. I would be more for more civic amenities. Cause like I went to the post office the other day and I was like, and I went in the middle of the day and it wasn't bad. And the guys are helpful, but it's just, it's too small and the lot's always full. And like, right. it's not the fault of the people working there. It's old.
Right.
It's old. And like some of the other municipal rec facilities and that type of stuff, they're old. And people are like, why have that? It's like, yeah. And I know it was great like when you were a kid. And even I was a kid over 20 years ago now.
Right.
Going like, oh, yeah, well, back then. But our population has gone El Banco. That's a thing, right? That's-
Dude, shout out to the high dive at Sunset Pool.
Yeah.
My little 6-year-old just went off that for the first time the other day, had a ball, and I just love that we have a high dive, like yeah. an outdoor high dive somewhere. They're not that common anymore, so no. I hope that never goes away.
And I like, I, God bless Longmont for having like doggy day at the pools when they're shutting
yeah,
them down.
It's yeah, it's great.
We haven't so done it fun. In a couple of years, but
oh, how
you,
fun.
You take them and they're just like, sounds all right, yeah. off you go. You're going to sleep well tonight. You're not going to yeah. be barking and everything. But yeah, that's cool. On Saturday, October 14th, Longmont will experience an 80% annular solar eclipse. So that's one.
Sweet. Have you been checking out the Starlink satellites lately?
No, I haven't.
Like every night at 8 o'clock, it's been like a different train oh, yeah. going by. Is it? I think there's like two different ones, maybe, or they say, I don't know. They all look a little different every night because like they start to spread out as they get to orbit or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're so cool looking.
I think it's a really cool, cool idea. Cool, like it's a great way to solve like internet around the world. I think it's too bad the guy who runs it's kind of a nut. But like, you know, I think like. Barring that, like it's, I
literally
respect
takes nothing away from it for me. I just so incredible. There's so many minds that yeah. have worked on this and so many incredible people. It's an unbelievable feat of many, many minds. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's very, very cool. There's some really cool stuff too. And my next door neighbor, Boyd, we had on the
Mr.
show.
Mr. Boyd.
Yeah. He talks a lot about how like SpaceX is like what they've been doing. Like some of the stuff over there is pretty cool.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's incredible to track. They've got the, yeah, my husband's a super fan, keeps us all. No, whether you like it or not, we all stay very abreast of what's happening. SpaceX in our house, our children are subjected to constant videos. And
I mean, it's cool. Incredible. Like space is a fascinating and like you stop and you get your brain around it and it blows your yeah. mind. And then you go back to living your little mortal life. And then you stop and think about it. And you're like, oh, wow. Right. It's so vast. And wow.
And by the way, Longmont.
And then we're here. Yeah, we're talking about this. And we're talking about Annie's bed in particular. So. Annie's carpets.
Oh my gosh. I mean, on that note, we were going to make this one short because we didn't have a guest.
And... We didn't. Too bad. Yeah, if you're still awake, this is us closing up shop, I think. I'm not entirely sure. We're working on getting out of here. I'm checking my notes and seeing if I got anything worth talking about anymore. There's a lot of complaints about cars, etc. in the subreddit. With the complete opposite of my monotonal NPR voice.
Longmont Oktoberfest is this weekend.
That's this weekend.
September 29th and 30th.
Nice.
Go check it out at The Garden on the Boston. Garden.
Yeah. Cool venue. Cool. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I went to the actual Oktoberfest once. Yep. And I would go to a simulacrum because they're cool. They're neat.
Yeah.
Go enjoy yourself. Wow. Buy a dirndl.
Tickets are, $5 or $10. Okay, that's a lot less than I was whining about the other day. Okay. Anyway, thanks a lot, Brady. Should we sign off?
Yeah.
All right. Many thanks to Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. Thank you, listeners, for your mail. Send us more, sidedishlongmont@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Give us a like, give us a follow, share it with your friends. Let us know if you have guest ideas. And
tell your running friends.
Yeah, running friends are good. Yeah. Gardening friends are good.
Tell your gardening friends.
Biking friends.
Tell everybody.
Gee, thanks.